Don't have a PowerPoint this morning, so you can get your Bibles out, or you can get your phones out. If you have a Bible on your phone, I know a lot of people do that nowadays, or tablet or whatever, you know, and we can look at the scriptures together this morning. And the first scripture we want to look at is Isaiah 53 and verse 11, or I'm sorry, verse 7. Isaiah 53 and verse 7. You may be familiar with Isaiah 53. This chapter is a prophecy of the sufferings that Jesus would undergo. And reading through the entire chapter really does give one a sense of prophetic insight into the character of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning, the character of Jesus. And specifically, how Jesus' character showed respect toward other people. In Isaiah 53 and verse 7, we read these words. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. What a very insightful look into the character of Jesus Christ. You know, Isaiah wrote about Jesus some 400 or 800 years before his trial. And when most people go on trial and they are accused, they want to speak back. They want someone to defend them. They want someone to stand up for them and talk about what has happened, why they are being accused wrongly, and certainly to let someone know the full story. That is, not just the other side, but their side. But Jesus did not respond to the false accusations against him. Even so, that the Roman governor Pilate marveled at Jesus' silence at those who accused him. He did not, quote, talk back, unquote, as so many do today. As a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And this is evidence of the remarkable character of Jesus Christ. If you ever taught in public school, I know a lot of people here have, or if you've ever had a conversation with someone, you know, as soon as you say something that they forgot or they need to do or some way they're defective or you're trying to make correction or something like that, there's talk back. And kids talk back and adults talk back. And, you know, there's all this talking back that goes on a lot of times. And what is being pointed out in the Gospels about Jesus was that he did not do this. His character was remarkable in that regard. And this is something that we're going to look at this morning as we think about the character of Jesus. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. said this, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. The content of their character. And that's something that we ought to focus on, the content of character. And Jesus' character is the content that we want to have within our lives. And so what was Jesus' character like? And how did he show respect for other people's? You know, a lot of times that's what we tell our children when they're not acting like, right? You need to show respect for others. And that's how we put it. Jesus did this. He showed respect to other people. How? Well, let's look at four ways in which Jesus showed respect for others. First of all, Jesus showed respect for other people by respecting each person's choice. And this is a very fundamental, important thing that we need to think about in our culture, in our society today. A lot of times when you watch children interact with one another and one says, no, I don't want to do that. what happens? The other one says, oh, but you need to do this because of this, that, and this, and that. And the other. You try to persuade, right? You want that other person to do what you want them to do and persuade them to do it and get them involved in it somehow, some way. And a lot of disagreements are the result of not respecting another person's choice, right? Well, Jesus respected other people's choices. There's two such examples in Matthew chapter 8 and verses 18 through 22. Take a look at that in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 8 and verses 18 through 22. Two different men came to Jesus, and they had some things in mind, but then Jesus had some things in mind as well. And notice what it says. Well, I'm in Luke. I intended to get back to Matthew, but I ended up in Luke. All right. So Matthew, well, now I've gone too far. But these two men, they wanted to be disciples of Jesus, and Jesus had some things to talk to them about regarding discipleship and how difficult it was. And so Matthew chapter 8, I'm finally there. All right, Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 18. Jesus saw great multitudes about him. He gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Look at his statement. I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And look at Jesus' response to this. His response is, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Isn't that remarkable? You know, most people who come to us and say, "Oh, I want to be a Christian," we're like, "Okay, let's go. We're happy. Let's hear it. Let's do it." And that's fine. But Jesus' response to this man who said, "I will follow you wherever you go," was to challenge him. Do you know what you're getting into? Do you understand what the commitment involves? The birds of the air have their nests and the foxes have their den, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. Are you ready to live that kind of life? We don't know what happened to this scribe that came to Jesus and said this, but Jesus respected his choice and he gave him the information that he needed to make a good choice, didn't he? Look at the second example here. Then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Jesus gave him the information that he needed in order to make the choice that he needed to make. But he didn't beg for disciples. He didn't say, "Oh, please go ahead and take care of your father's business and then come back and that'll be okay." He respected the choice of every single person and what they said. He challenged, yes. He gave information, yes. But he knew that each individual was responsible for making their own choice, and that's why he told them the things that he told them. You know, we make a lot of choices in life, and those choices reflect upon our character. But God doesn't sit there and agonize over our choices and try to get us to behave in one way or other. He expects us to do the right thing, but then respects us for making the choices that we make. And then ultimately, he will hold us accountable for those choices, whether we've chosen the right thing or whether we've chosen the wrong thing. He's going to hold us accountable in the end. Look at Matthew 19 and verses 16 through 24. We refer to this as the rich young ruler, the story of the rich young ruler. But notice the interaction between him and Jesus here. Not what you would expect, right? Starting in verse 16. "Now behold, one came to him and said, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?' And what did Jesus say to him? 'If you want to be perfect, go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Jesus respected his choice. He went away. Jesus didn't try to say, oh, but you need to do this, you need to do that, and don't go away, come back, you know. No, he let him go. Why? Because he knew he was a responsible individual. Look at John chapter 6, verses 66 and 67. John chapter 6 and verses 66 and 67. Another very interesting interaction between Jesus and disciples. And in this context, Jesus had given them the lesson of the bread of life, right? And talking about the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And these were very difficult things for people to understand and to accept. And so in John 6, verse 66, it says this, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And notice verse 67, or 66, but 68. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So many disciples went away. They went back. They didn't follow Jesus. He respected their choice. He even turned to the 12 and said, are you going to go away too? Of course, they did not. But Jesus respected. He didn't beg for them to come back. He didn't go pleading with them, say, oh, come back. I'm sorry. I didn't mean what I said. No, he gave them the truth. He told them the truth. He let it out in front of them. And then they made their choice. They are responsible for how they handled that information. Jesus respected other people's choices. Tremendous character here in the person of Jesus Christ and how he lived and interacted with other people. But then, secondly, Jesus' character is so remarkable because he did not revile or threaten others. You know, a lot of times when we don't get what we want from somebody, what will we do? Character assassination, right? If somebody's not acting the way we want them to act, we go after them. Oh, don't listen to that guy. He's a so-and-so. To put it nicely, that's not what a lot of people do. They're a lot not as nice as that, right? or we might do something. We might threaten them. Well, if you don't do what I tell you to do, then I'm going to, you know, do this, that, or the other. Threaten people to behave in a certain way. And that seems to be kind of the general modus operandi of most people in the world. But Jesus did not act like that. He didn't revile others. He didn't threaten others. He respected people. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. What character! What a tremendous example that Jesus was. He didn't revile others. He didn't threaten others. What did he do? He committed it to God. He gave it to God. This example of Jesus is brought to a pinnacle of example, a behavior example in Matthew 26, 62 through 63, where Jesus is appearing before the high priest. He's on trial there. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. You know, we kind of understand that principle today in modern jurisprudence. If you have a trial and you go to court, your lawyer's going to say, you sit there and you keep your mouth shut. Why is that? Because anything you say can and will be used against you, right? That's what it happens. Jesus kept his mouth shut. He didn't say anything. He didn't speak here because that was his character. Pilate marveled at that. Matthew 27, 13 through 14. Do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Matthew 27, 30 through 31, it says, Then they spat on him and took a reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. And as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, so he answered them not, Isaiah said. Great fulfillment of Bible prophecy. How many people would have insisted on a defense? How many would have said, where is my lawyer? How many would have said, I'm going to answer these charges and try to speak out? But Jesus didn't. He didn't revile. He didn't threaten others. He followed God's teaching perfectly, lived a sinless life, and became an example for us. You see, he didn't talk back. And that shows us the remarkable character of Jesus Christ and how he had tremendous respect for himself and for others. What was Jesus' character like? Look at this. That when others put him on the cross to die a cruel and painful death, that instead of speaking out against them and the world, the way the world thinks, they would have said, well, you're on the cross dying right now. Why not go ahead and curse them? Why not go ahead and slander them? Why not go ahead and plead for your case and tell people how unjust this whole situation is? Well, that's the way the world would think, right? But what did Jesus do when he was on the cross? He prayed for those who put him on the cross. Remarkable, remarkable character. Look at Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 39. Matthew 27, starting in verse 39. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you're the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same things. But then, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, Luke records that remarkable prayer of Jesus while he was hanging there on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many of us would have the character to do something like that? Not very many. Certainly not the world. It would take a tremendous amount of restraint, a tremendous amount of self-control in order to do what Jesus did. Even the thieves who were on the cross with him mocked him, Matthew tells us. And then one later repented, and Jesus had the character to say to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. He even forgave the thief on the cross who had mocked him that very day. What character Jesus demonstrated. How would we have reacted? Would we have cried out for justice and said how horrible the situation is for condemning an innocent man? Would we have responded those hateful words that the Jews heaped upon Jesus there with other hateful words in reply? Jesus did none of these things, but turned to God in prayer. That's character. And then finally, we see the character of Jesus by honoring his Father's will. You know, Jesus knew that he was going to the cross. In Matthew 16 and verse 21, it says, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. He knew that he was going to the cross. It was his Father's will that he go to the cross to be the sacrifice for sin for all of mankind. He did not want to have to go through that. And we see that in that prayer that he uttered there in the Garden of Gethsemane that we've been talking about on Wednesday night, the place of the oil press where the good oil is separated from that which is the refuse. You know, I was thinking about this a little bit more, and I was thinking about the old cottonseed oil presses that they used to have in Texas. They used to be all over Texas. I did some research on this a while back. And Crisco. How many of y'all use Crisco in cooking? You know, maybe not as much anymore, but it used to be Crisco was the big thing, right? Crisco oil was made from cottonseed oil back in the day. I don't know if it still is or not. Cottonseed oil gins, probably not as popular anymore. Well, what would they do? They take the seed and they press it and press it and press it until the oil comes out of that seed. Tremendous pressure is involved in that process. And so the same thing with the olive pits. That's where they get the oil from. The olive pits, taking those seeds and pressing them under tremendous weight and pressure until the oil comes out. And that oil comes out and you have that olive oil. And it's so useful for so many things. Separation. Separation of the what is useful and good from that which is refuse. And Jesus experienced that in the Garden of Gethsemane, the place of the oil press. And he separated his own will from the Father's will. And he concluded, the Father's will must be done within my life. That's the good oil that comes from that process of separation. A process that leads to holiness, because holiness is separation. And so Jesus prayed that prayer in Mark 14:36, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And so Jesus took the Father's will, and he executed it flawlessly. And there in the garden, when those men came from the chief priests and rabbis to take Jesus and arrest him, he didn't offer resistance, even though some of the disciples resisted. He told Peter to put his sword into his sheath. And then as he was going through the process, he told some of the others, Matthew 26:53, do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? You see, Jesus could have stopped it at any time. He could have ended it, but the Father's will needed to be done. And Jesus resolved to do the Father's will within his life. That's character. That's character. Here is the divine character that Jesus displayed. He respected other people's choices. He didn't revile or threaten others. He prayed for the forgiveness of those who tormented him. And he honored his Father's will. Oh, that each one of us would reflect and demonstrate the character of Jesus within our lives. And what an awesome day it would be when we all followed the example of Jesus Christ. Perhaps this morning you need to follow that example in your life and become a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, by hearing his word and believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus did the Father's will. Would you do the Father's will within your life? Those things are the Father's will. Or maybe as a Christian, you find yourself in need of prayer. Now is a good time to ask for prayers if that's what you need. We would be happy to help you in that regard. And so if you need something this morning that we can help you with, you're welcome to come forward and to the front and ask, make your request known while together we stand and while we sing.